A couple of things before I begin. I may have set a record for myself this weekend. This is probably the longest homily I have ever given. But I have a lot to cover here, so I ask that you please bear with me. And I understand that some people get a little touchy or even offended when the priest talks about political things from the ambulance. So if what I'm about to say makes you touchy or offends you in any way, then please close your ears. In addition to this being the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time, today is also designated as Respect Life Sunday. Although the rubric still calls for the celebrants to wear green vestments, I truly believe that we should be wearing black instead. But there is so much that we should be mourning. We should be mourning a murder rate that seems to never decline, especially in major cities such as Chicago, New Orleans, and New York. In recent years, we have seen an uprising in violence against our law enforcement officers, with 93 deaths this year alone, with more than half of them by gunfire or assault. And just as disturbing, if not more, we should be mourning the number of babies that have been brutally murdered by the abortion and birth control cartel since 1973, which is now peaking at 60 million. Abortion has killed 59 times more people, 59 times more than the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War, September 11th, Afghanistan, and Iraq, all put together. I focus on abortion not to trump violence against our law enforcement and of our civilians, but for the willful destruction of any life is neither acceptable nor justifiable. But if we cannot respect life from the moment of conception, how in the world are we going to respect life at any other stage? If life means nothing from the moment of conception, then life at any stage up to the hour of natural death means nothing. Now, some of you are probably old enough to remember, from your Catholic education or from studying old missals, being taught the four sins that cry to heaven for vengeance, which are the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, the oppression of the poor, the defrauding of workers for their wages, and which was number one on the list I looked at, willful murder. Now we define willful murder as the direct, deliberate destruction of a human life. And we speak of it quite often in the church, but rarely, if ever, has it been spoken of as a sin crying to heaven for vengeance. And moreover, when we hear abortion referred to as a modern issue, the reality is, however, is that it has been around long before the rise of Margaret Sanger, a well-known racist, and what we know now as Planned Parenthood, plaguing mankind for millennia. Evidence of this can be found in the writings of the early church fathers, who fought for years upon years to put an end to it. For example, from the Epistle of St. Barnabas, "You shall not kill the child by obtaining an abortion, nor again shall you destroy him after he is born." St. Basil the Great writes, "A woman who deliberately destroys a fetus is answerable for murder, and any fine distinction as to its being completely formed or unformed is not admissible amongst us." St. John Chrysostom, "To destroy the fetus is something worse than murder. The one who does this does not take away life that has already been born, but prevents it from being born." I cannot begin to tell you how many times I have heard it said that the church should not be involved in politics. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have a choice. When you have people, especially celebrities and politicians, passing themselves off as Catholic, publicly supporting abortion, gay marriage, euthanizing our elderly, adultery, and everything in a long list that is contrary to the teachings of Christ and of His church, we have no choice but to speak up. For years, the church has been bullied into believing that we cannot be political from the ambo. Well, there's one thing we need to understand. The Bible, in and of itself, is a political document. Why? Because the prophets, St. John the Baptist, our blessed Lord, and all but one of the apostles lost their lives because of the fact that they spoke the truth in the face of political power. The time has come for us to start speaking out now, courageously and boldly, not just as Catholics, or not just Catholics, but all Christians, because if we do not, we may not be able to in the near future. There is too much at stake in this election, only 1 month from now, for us to be silent or to stay home on that day. If we do not cast the right vote in November, or we stay home and don't vote at all, the result will be catastrophic. Because if a certain party is elected, mark my words, there will be all-out persecution of the church. Now, do you think that I'm standing here just fear-mongering? Consider this. Members of this same party have said that if churches do not agree with the woman's right to choose, code word for abortion and contraception on demand, then they will just have to change their doctrine. Remember the Little Sisters of the Poor, how the federal government was trying to force them to pay for abortion and contraception. Friends, that case has not yet been settled, and it is still in the appeals courts as we speak. And while we are on the subject of courts, this certain party will put on the bench judges who will not interpret the law, but will make and rewrite laws and rip our Constitution to shreds. They've already forced our tax money to fund the abortion cartel, and they've already crammed gay marriage down our throats. And I guarantee you, it will not stop there. If we allow this certain party to get elected, the dignity and sanctity of human life, the sacrament of marriage, and the family as the basis of society will be thrown into the garbage bin of history. Our right to worship God according to the light of our conscience, natural law, and right reason will be thrown to the wind so that they can transform this nation into and society into their own image and likeness. And that is not only political, it is diabolical. It is evil. And we had better get it through our heads that the devil has his hands all over this. Now, the last time I checked, this was still the land of the free. Now, if you are free, you have a right to speak your mind. Now, I cannot speak for you, but I will tell you one thing. No judge, no politician, no one whatsoever is going to dictate to me what I can and cannot preach. I vow respect and obedience to one man only. And the last time I checked, Bishop Desitel did not live at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. The biggest threat to this party is free people and people who exercise their freedom. I am free, so therefore I stand here and speak. Each and every one of you here are free. And not only do you have the right to speak, but you have the obligation to speak. And one way to make your voice heard, and more important, 1 month from now, is to get out and vote according to your faith in God this election day. You owe it to your children. You owe it to your grandchildren, for their future is at stake. The giant has slept long enough. We can no longer afford to be silent and to stay home and cower in the face of evil. The test this election year will be when the church militant armed with the weapons of faith, hope, and charity, rises up, takes a stand, and says, enough is enough. We are not taking it anymore. At all. We will not be silenced. We will not be bullied. And we will not be told that we cannot stand up for the dignity of every human being, for the sanctity and dignity of marriage and of the family. So let us go up now, storming heaven with masses, rosaries, novenas, and prayers, and go out in full force to the polls on election day and send a clear message to Satan and the enemies of Christ and of his church that this nation is still one nation under God, our King and our only King. And make no mistake, we are at war. We are at war not only for souls, but we are at war for the very souls of this great nation. God has given us the grace to win the victory. And if we take up the cross and we are faithful to what he calls us to do, the enemy's enemies do not and will not stand a chance. For he who won the victory by his sacrifice on the cross will once again rise victorious and triumphant.